Hey everybody, welcome to This Week in Zoltan. This is episode 330. I've done 330 of these. How am I not Marc Maron, at least? I'm kidding. I'm good with being just myself. Welcome to the show. Welcome to my plants. Welcome to my living room. Welcome to video or audio, however you're choosing to insert me into your system, which sounds sexual. Oddly. Before we get to anything, thank you for listening, downloading, sharing, subscribing, hitting the notification bell, whatever you do to get my podcast. Thank you for the 5-star reviews on iTunes. Before we get into it, don't forget, I'm on tour. I do comedy on the road. I have dates coming up in Portland, Oregon, Everett, Washington, Chehalis, Washington, Dallas, Texas, Washington, D.C., two shows in Charlotte, North Carolina, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and many more to come. Go to ZoltanComedy.com, where you can see the whole list of shows, links to tickets. You can also sign up for my mailing list, so I can just email you when I do a show. Don't worry, I don't spam. Half the time, I forget to send the damn email. But don't unsubscribe, all right? You know, I mean, it's one thing to unsubscribe on YouTube. I get it. It's a button. But to unsubscribe to a mailing list that you signed up for. Who are you? I'm not Levi's. It's not like Mr. Levi gets notified when you unsubscribe. It's me. I find out personally. You know what's worse than unsubscribing to my email list? Marking me as spam. Yes. Oh, you sorry sack of ass. If you mark my emails, I will find you. I don't know how. I don't know how to do it. I don't even know how to make a phone call with covering my phone number. So it just comes up with no caller ID. I don't even know how to do that. So I can't look you up, but I wish I could. I wish I could make an attempt to. Anyway, there's the World War, everybody. World War III has started. I know that's the weirdest way to get into it. I've just been watching it on TV. I've been watching the war like you guys have. It's weird to think there used to be a time where you couldn't watch a war on TV. Because I remember the first one. I don't remember it, but I know from history. The first war to be televised live was Desert Storm. And that was back in like 91, 90, somewhere in there. And then the first time they had video of war for people, I think, was like Vietnam. Where they sent out, you know, like a press guy in a bulletproof vest and a helmet. But it's so weird, like, to think during the World War II days, you just had to read the paper or listen to the radio and they would tell you about it. They would tell you about the war. And now we see it. We just see it regular. The videos coming in from Ukraine are insane. It's soldiers, it's not just soldiers. There's boxers, like Vasily Lomachenko, one of my favorite boxers to watch. He's in the army, as are the two giant Klitschko brothers and this other guy, Usyk. They like stopped boxing and now they're defending their country. There's just regular citizens, people like me, but not like me, because they're actually brave. But people that look like they should be useless in a fight are now fighting, and that's impressive. That's impressive in that the Ukrainian people, they're made of something better than what I'm made of. I'd like to think that if the situation was here, that I'd throw on the fatigues and figure out which way to point the thing. I would like to think that, but I also know me. I also know that before I kill a spider, there's a hesitation, you know? Where I have the napkin, it's on the wall, and then there's a stutter where I'm like, huh? You know, I throw a feint at it, and then I come in over the top. Like, there's a stutter there, you know, because I'm not a natural hero. I think some people have that, you know, the quick twitch reflex, and I don't even know if that's a term. But, you know, some people just jump into action to help somebody, and I've never been that. I've told this story on the podcast before, on a long ago episode. One time I didn't save a baby in a pool, because I it's not as bad as that sentence made it sound, but there I was at a house party, and this girl had a child who it was a baby, it could walk and talk, but it was young enough to not have to wear pants, whatever age that is, like this baby was just naked and I was out by the pool and I was just on my phone and I wasn't trying to look towards the direction of the child and the mother because I didn't want them to think I was weird, but I thought, I was like, that's not safe to just let that child wander into the pool. But the mom was watching, like, because at first the baby was just on the step and the pole, just in like knee-deep water for the child, just kind of splashing. I'm like, I guess that's okay, but you should be closer. You know, I'm not a parent. I was even younger. You know, I was in my 20s. I'm looking at that going, I would do better than that crappy situation right there. But I'm also not trying to look in that direction because this baby isn't wearing pants. I didn't want the mom to think that I'm one of those people that's like into that, you know? So I'm just looking at my phone. And then I guess what happened is the baby pushed away from the stairs and tried to swim because all I heard was the mother go, "You can't swim," which isn't the right thing to yell in that situation. You should yell something more encouraging, like, arms and legs, flap them good, keep the head up. But instead she yells, "You can't swim." And then the baby realizes she can't swim. So she starts taking on water. And then all this whole situation that I explained to you developed in the matter of like 2 seconds. And I could have jumped in the pool. And so I was like 20 feet away. I could have got up, kicked my flip-flops on. They could have put on the Baywatch theme song. "Some people stand in the darkness," as I slow motion run and dive into the pool, but I didn't do that. Instead, I just looked up and went, "Huh?" And then the mother just jumped in fully clothed and retrieved her own baby. And that's why I wouldn't be helpful in the war. Do you get that? Like, real soldiers and heroes don't have that moment of, "Huh?" They just act. And I'm not a jump-in guy. I wish I was. I just don't have, like, my molecules didn't form in my mother's belly to create a hero. I was created to document and drop my phone. I was created to, like, observe and report. That's what I was created for. Like a security guard. Like a useless mall security guard. That doesn't stop anything, but we'll relay the story to when the heroes show up. When the heroes show up, that person goes, "Man, you guys should have been here 5 minutes ago, because you could have stopped this double murder-suicide. But I'll tell you what happened." And then you give a creative story to pass on. And that's why I'd like to think I'd be helpful if, God forbid, anything like that happened here in the United States. And I would like to help. But I think I would be detrimental to the cause. I think I would. And I wish I wasn't. I should be there to bring water, entertain the troops a little, you know, raise morale a tad while we're terrified. But anyway, those people in the Ukraine, I saw pictures of just regular people, just regular, someone, a barista, you know, a mechanic. Just regular people. There is a picture of these women. They look like moms. They just look like moms that dropped their kid off at daycare a minute ago. And now they're covered in fatigues with machine guns. And they're ready to fight off the Russians. And, oh boy. I know so much. That's all I've been watching. I used to know nothing. Like, remember a few years ago that Crimea, when Russia was trying to take Crimea? And then I guess they did. And now looking at a map of Ukraine, I'm like, oh, I see why the Ukrainians didn't want that. Because now they can attack from all sides. Just come up into your kitchen. I hope it works out. I don't think it will. The United States and the other countries are kind of helping with sanctions. Which, the sanctions are kind of like, on the surface, I get that it's the right thing to do. Because we don't want to just jump into a world war. But it also, it just feels like when you see an unruly child in public and the parent doesn't hit the child, and on the surface you're like, that's the right thing to do. You're not supposed to hit children because there's been enough, I guess, you know, studies that show that that leads to them possibly becoming serial killers. So you shouldn't hit a child. But then deep down you're like, I'd love to see that child get open hand thrusted in the chops. I would also love to see that. So that's how it feels with this Russian Putin thing, where I'm like, I understand that the sanctions are the smartest way to fight him, but I would just like to see someone hit him in the mouth. Hit him in his colorless lips. Wouldn't that be nice? That's the thing, like, I know Putin's evil, but he just has a colorless kisser on him. It's just pale and cold. It, like, he needs IVs to stay alive, and he doesn't smile at puppies, you know? He always just has this, he has that fake machismo about him, and he's only 5'7", and I can make fun of him because I'm 5'9". I got 2 inches on old Poots cake over there. I don't know. He's a very unlikable guy. I don't know if he's the best representative for Russians, or maybe the best. Who knows? But I would like to see him take more than just some sanctions. A little extra. Give him a little. It'd be nice. It'd be nice if he actually wanted a UFC fight. Because he's like a jiu-jitsu guy. He's all machismo, but I would like to see him like put it into action. Because it's one thing to just hit a heavy bag. Everyone looks good hitting a torso with no arms. But imagine if that thing had arms and a brain and was also into fighting. Might be a different situation. He also has that long-ass table. Good lord. I tweeted because I saw that one photo that went viral where he's like, he's huddling with his defensive people. And it was like an 80-foot table and he's at one end and everyone else is at the other. And it's like, I saw that and I'm like, what a great visualization for the emotional distance that I like to keep from most people. And that was it. That's how I open up to people. Or how little I open up to people. I'm at the end of one 80-foot table and you guys are at the other end. And we're just going, huh? Would you say about your feelings? Never mind. Pass the salt. I think that's about it. It's odd because I've been going to therapy long enough that I kind of see where Putin's coming from. Because I have control issues. I think a lot of people go to therapy for control issues. And I get where dictators are coming from now. They have what I have. They just have more resources and bigger tables. I don't have that, you know? I got a Honda Fit and a decent credit score. I can't damage too many things outside of my arm's reach. I'm limited. But Putin doesn't have that limitancy. That's not a word. But he has the same thing I have where he has control issues. And he's like, I'm gonna put the USSR back together. That's wild that that's still going on. Because I was born in Budapest, Hungary. And one of my earliest memories was in 1989. I was 2 years old. My mom still can't believe that I can still remember this. But we were on the streets. We were watching. I remember standing on the sidewalks with my mother and my uncle. And hundreds of other people. The sidewalk was packed. The street was empty, but the sidewalks were packed. And I guess what we were watching was the Russians move out their military vehicles because communism had just fallen. I don't remember seeing any military vehicles, but I did see a dude with camouflage pants and a German Shepherd. That caught my 2-year-old attention way more than I guess a tank somehow. But I was around for that, and it's crazy to think, you know, I'm turning 35 this year. That was 33 years ago, and here we are, and he's like trying to put the pieces back together. He's trying to get Ukraine and the other ones. See, I'm kind of learning, but I also don't. I knew Ukraine, and then I was trying to remember the other countries' names. You know the ones, Belarus and wherever Borat was from, Encino, Estonia, close. I'm ignorant. I don't know anything, but I'm pulling for the people. I wish there was more countries could do. That's my dishwasher. Listen to the tone. I don't know how to turn it off. I wish I could go into the settings and have it not do that. But I'm one of those people that are like, if I guess I can't change it, I'll learn to enjoy it. Which, does that mean I'm getting better with my control issues? I think that means therapy is working. If I can get over the fact that every time I put the dishwasher on, it ends with a 15-second jingle created by Samsung that I never wanted in the first place. And I learned to live with it because I've learned to love my inner child. I think, I don't know. So anyway, I hope the war ends. I hope it doesn't spread. And if it ever comes to the U.S., I like to think that there's more brave people here, so I can be helpful, but in a helpful way. You don't have to bring food and water heroically. You just, you know, make sure it's warm and the water's cold, and you serve it with a smile. And I think that's what I can bring to the table. God, I'm worthless. It actually makes me feel better knowing that I can help. I think there's a lot of stress on heroes. Because I think heroes know that they're the ones to right the wrong. Whereas opposed to like me understanding who I am and my capabilities, I'm just like, well, you know, that hero might need help finding his jacket. That's where I come in. Here you go, you chilly hero. Get on out there and make sure I don't have to learn Russian. You know? I don't know. That might be too jovial of a spin to put on it, but that's where I am. We had some friends in this past weekend, which was awesome. We had our friends come in from Arizona. They are homeowners in Arizona. I am not a homeowner because I live in San Diego. And if you didn't see on the news, San Diego has just beaten out San Francisco as the most expensive housing market in the United States. We are ahead of everybody. So that, you know, that's good. That makes me feel better. Like the fact that we can afford to rent in a city that is so expensive that people can't buy a home here, that makes me feel good. That means I'm doing well in life. See, I always try to put the positive spin on things I can't control. I'm growing. Growth, everybody. There's always a silver lining. I'm able to survive in one of the most expensive cities in America. So, you know, you think these plants are free? My fiance bought them, but I still live in a house with them, so even playing field right there. Yeah, we had some friends from Arizona come in and visit. We had fun. We went to a concert. We went to a concert with a bunch of 20-year-olds, even though we're all in our 30s and mid-30s and late 30s. And we just hung out at the soda bar down the street from where I live because I wanted some activities for us to do. And I bought these tickets because it was down the street and I listened to three of their songs on Spotify. I know we're supposed to be protesting Spotify for Joe Rogan and the fact that they don't pay me, but I haven't disconnected Spotify because I don't want to lose my playlists. And it's just such a pain in the ass to start paying for Apple Music or Pandora or Amazon Music or whatever. I just don't want to. I mean, that goes to show you right there, back to the historic talk. Forget all the, even if you're not mad or upset or you're on Joe Rogan's side as far as the vaccine stuff, I don't care. But they're legit screwing me over the amount they pay me. They usually pay me like a dollar, but they actually should pay me $5 or whatever, right? They're screwing me over. But I don't want to lose my playlist and my stuff. So I'm like, boo, Spotify. But also, not going to change now. You got me. I've already hearted too many songs. So I'm supposed to go on Amazon and reheart all these damn songs? Ah, to hell with it. You can just keep my money. But anyway, so yeah, I listened to three songs from this band, Mild Orange. Really good band. One of them has a mullet. But like in a cool hipster, you know, doesn't it look like 1993 kind of way. And we dug three of their songs. I bought us some tickets. We went over to the soda bar. And as soon as we walked in, I was like, damn, it's just me and that bartender, huh? Everyone else is like 22, and they have like 22 vibes about them. Because like it was us, the four of us went, there's no rows, it's general admission. So we're like second row from the stage, and we're already complaining. That lets you know you're too old for a setting when you come in and the first words out of your mouth is a complaint. We all had them. Where all the complaints were the same. They're like, what? There's no chairs? I'm like, yeah, it's just standing. Are we going to stand here? Yeah, I mean, this is close enough to the stage. It's too loud. Yep, the speaker is right there. We were like right under a speaker, and it's a bad speaker. So it's just rah, 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 rah. And then as we're having our complaints, like, I can't, is this cash only? Ah, I got to use that shady ATM. They need to turn it down. There was two young people right in front of us, and they just turned around and looked at us, annoyed that they could hear our complaints over the blisteringly loud tunes that were coming out of a blown-out speaker. And I went, oh no, we're too old to be here. We're too old to be here. Like, not just age-wise. You're 30, mid-30s and late-30s isn't too old to be in the building. But it's in our hearts, we're too old to be here because we can't. It's too, we've been to better concerts. That's really what it is. We've been to better concerts. We've been to better venues where you've sat in comfortable seats or had the option to sit in comfortable seats. And you were able to order a drink in a separate area where you didn't have to yell it into the ear of a bartender who then had to find your name on your open tab. We've just been to better venues, and I think that ages you. It's kind of like when you have a great steak and then you have another steak at a different restaurant that's not as good. You're like, this steak sucks. Meanwhile, the table next to you, that's their first time having steak out. And they're like, this is the best steak I've ever had. Well, I can't enjoy it the way you do because your level of experience is amateurish. So that's what I wanted to say to these young people that gave me the you're too old to be in here eye. I wanted to go, listen, Missy, I'm not too old. In fact, I've just experienced too many awesome things, and I realize that this sucks. And you're too young, and you haven't experienced enough stuff to know that this sucks. You think this is good, and it's not. And you don't know it because you haven't done anything. That's what I wanted to say. But instead, I just internalized all those feelings. And went, no, I'm too old to be in here. So for the next 2 hours or 3 hours that we were there, I was just like, oh, everybody knows. Everybody knows I wish I had earplugs. And I want to just go home and lie down. That was the ultimate realization that I made. I had the feeling. I felt old. And then I realized what I really wanted to do was to have something to eat. And I wanted to lie down. Like, I just mistimed it all. Like, I took an edible, but it was earlier in the day, so it had worn off by the time I went into the venue. So it's coming down, and I'm like, I'd like something to eat, and I want to be in a prone position on the ground. I'll take it on the ground. That sounded dirty. You know what I mean. I just want to be flat so my lower lumbar can be supported with my ass here, and it can set it into position where I can relax, and we can put on 90 Day Fiancé and love our lives. I think that's an important thing I've been trying to learn in my 30s, is that I have these moments where I'm like, I think I want to go out, but then I go out and then I realize I hate it. And what I really want to do is go home and lie down. I need to skip out. I need to get to a part where I'm smart enough to know to cut out that in-between part of going out. And then just understand that I really just want to stay inside. Maybe open a bottle of wine, have a little bit of cheese, and lay down and put something on that I can fall asleep halfway through. I think that's secretly what I want in my heart, but like my 20s wasn't that long ago. So there's still part of that that's like, we should go out and live our lives. But I know what I like. I know what I like, and I'm trying to deny what my heart desires. And that's wrong. So we had a good time at the concert. It was those young people. It was fun watching young people have a good time. That was one of the things I noticed. It was fun watching them enjoy themselves, even though I was getting a bit of a headache. That's good. It's good to live vicariously through others. I think that's what, that's what parents do sometimes when their kid is good at something. Like, look at LeBron James. He wants to go play with his son when his son gets into the NBA. He wants to play with him on the same team. The ultimate helicopter dad move of all time. He wants to just hover over his child that's named after him. His kid's name is Bronny, for God's sakes. And so that's what I was doing at this concert. I was like LeBron James to Bronny, where I was like, I'm hovering over you, I'm too old to be here, and I'm hating all of this, but I like that you're enjoying it, and I'm sucking some of that fun through your pores. Yeah. So we had a good time. I'm old, but we tried to make the best of it. Not old, but I'm transitioning, okay, in lifestyle. Not sexually, in lifestyle. I'm transitioning to a more lay down, have a snack. Stop trying to do so much stuff. You did a lot of stuff. You've done a lot of stuff. Where did it get you? Just calm down. Calm down. Get a helmet. World War III is coming. We saw an unruly child. That's where I got the example about old the sanctions and Putin and Biden and all that stuff. I saw an unruly child who went to a coffee shop to have breakfast, and it was one of these old parents that are young. You know how like people are getting older now to have kids, and but they're young. So it was like clearly a couple that they work in computers. You know, maybe a graphic designer, and the other one's like, I designed an app to, you've never heard of it. You know, like he was like bald, but he had the cool short hair, and he had a little short so you could see his meaty thighs. And then she was wearing like a sundress with like a hat and big dumb glasses. And they had these two young babies, these adorable kids. They were old enough, they had pants on. So it wasn't like the situation where I wasn't heroic. They're old enough to where they had pants on, but they ran over. We were out there on this patio area where they had the big chess pieces, and they ran over and just knocked over all the pieces. And it was a quaint outdoor situation. Everyone's having breakfast, some coffee, some chats. How do you do? What's going on? Blah, blah, blah. And then these kids, these demons just come by and knock over all these pieces, and they're like, wow, just wrecking it. And then the father took so long to come over, he just comes over leisurely and goes, you can't do that. And just like the sanctions, it was like one of those situations where you're like, technically, I know what you're doing is right. You're not supposed to hit children. Otherwise, you're going to create a serial killer that's going to come after me when I'm too old to defend myself. And so I like, technically, I know you're doing the right thing. But deep down inside, something, throttle them, shake them by the shoulders, let them feel the fear of God. Something, just a little. That's what I felt deep inside, even though on the outside, I'm like, he's doing the right thing. So then he got the two children to go back over to where they're eating. And then that lasted about 45 seconds. They bolted, and then they picked up the chess pieces, started throwing them around again. And this happened like four times. And each time he took longer to get over there. He would just, he looked like a lethargic giraffe who was heading over to eat some stale banana leaves. Like he wasn't prompt about it. Like, if you're not gonna throttle your kids in public, which I understand is frowned upon, at least hurry up to describe your feelings to them as you take a knee and some gravel so you're eye to eye and you're not talking down to them. At least hurry the hell up. Otherwise, we should have a rule that says, of course, you know, you can't hit your children, but other adults in the area should be able to threaten violence to the adult that isn't hurrying up to the situation. Like, I wish I was bigger. Sometimes I wish I was like the size of the rock and I was sitting closer to the situation and I was heroic where I wouldn't just, you know, wait to jump into action. Because if I was like that, the fifth time he would have came over, I would have been like, hey, if this happens again, I'm going to throttle you like you should be throttling that child in front of your wife and God and everybody. And I bet they would have left. And I would have flexed my tricep and then pounded my cold brew. And Emma would have looked at me and like, whoo, I'm hot and bothered. And it would have been a great day. But instead, we just had to sit there and watch this long-legged, balding doofus lumber over and half discuss to his children that they shouldn't be throwing chess pieces across a coffee shop patio. And it just made me realize that, you know, these sanctions aren't going to stop Putin. Anyway, that's been the show for this week. Thank you for listening, downloading, sharing, subscribing, doing what you do to listen to this podcast. If you're on YouTube, don't forget to hit the notification bell. And yada yada, see me live. Go to ZoltanComedy.com for the dates. And other than that, good night, everybody, or good day, or good morning. God bless you. Peace in the Middle East. And in Ukraine.